Praise God. Well, I want us to look to the Word of God tonight. I want to talk about aspects of our salvation. Aspects of our salvation tonight. And I want to center up on the word saved and salvation and talk a little bit about that. As I said, we were just recently in Kenya and had a group with us, had a big group of fans, had seven family members with me on this trip. My wife, man, it was her first trip to Kenya. My son, his first trip. And then a nephew and a niece who had been with me before. Then my sister. And then one of my brother-in-laws also went. So we had seven. Then we had five other folks that were with us. And we saw some outstanding miracles take place. Deaf ears open. Paralyzed people healed. I know one lady, we went to the hospital on two Wednesdays ago. And she had malaria. And they prayed for her, ministered to her. And we were standing there getting ready to leave, and she walked up next to the folks and said, and they didn't recognize her. She had her dress on, was not in a hospital gown anymore, hospital clothes, had her dress on, said, "Well, I'm going home." And they were like, "You don't remember me? You just prayed for me. I had malaria. Now the doctors told me I'm well. I can go home." That quick. Amen. You know, God is a good God. Hallelujah. He is the God of our salvation. And so I want to start in Romans chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read from the Holman Christian Bible tonight, and they're going to put the New King James up, I believe, for these scriptures. But if you got your Bible there, I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to start with. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Here the Apostle Paul, in talking about the debt that he needs to relieve himself of and that he really can never get away with, that is the debt of preaching the gospel. Why? And why is he said, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power for salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew and also to the Greek." Well, that includes everybody. All right, as far as the view of the world in that day, you were either a Jew or you weren't, and that's what Gentile or Greek is the word that they would use. Notice it says, "It is the power," King James says, "of God," or "the power for salvation to everyone who believes." Now, anytime we see in the Word of God where it says to believe, that means we have to put faith in or to believe in something that's already been done, already accomplished. God never has asked us to believe something he hasn't already done. All right? Now, you say, well, what about future events? In the scheme of God, it's a done event. If God said it's going to happen, it's done. You understand that? So whatever God says, here in his word, he said, "It is the power for salvation to them who believe." Now, the thing about salvation is, you can't earn it. It can't be bought. It can't be paid for. Amen. You can't go shopping for it. Okay? It has been provided by God. That's why it's a matter of believing. Now, I want us to look at that word salvation there. And every time I go to this verse, I think of what Mr. Schofield wrote in the Schofield Study Bible. Have you ever had a Schofield Study Bible? Any Baptists in the house? Okay. Schofield Bible was the official Southern Baptist Bible for years and years and years, you know. But in his notes here, he says this: salvation. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation. Now, you know, the Old Testament primarily written in Hebrew, the New Testament primarily written in Greek, not necessarily the exact Greek spoken today, but in the Greek language, says implies the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. He says this: salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes, such as justification, that's where being declared right, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, that means our sins were imparted to Jesus, he bore them for us, we got imparted righteousness, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. Now, I like to, you know, let's read it. Let me put these, first of all, he said, deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Let me put that in there for us. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power for deliverance." You see, the gospel. To who? Everyone who believes. So the word salvation and the word saved just doesn't mean becoming a Christian. Sometimes we take that word and we just want to make it be, that's, well, I got saved. Well, okay, that's wonderful. But you got a whole lot more than you thought. Now, the reason I think a lot of times we haven't known that is because it hasn't been preached a whole lot. I'll never forget the first time I heard Kenneth Copeland say that when he saw the word saved in his Bible, he made himself say saved, healed, because the word means the same thing. He made himself say it, put a rule on himself. He would say saved, healed. And I remember hearing him preach sermons and he's reading his Bible. I'm thinking, where's that word healed? It's not in my Bible, but he had gotten it so into his consciousness. You know, it's just as easy to get healed as it was to get born again. Amen? Because it's all part of salvation. Well, deliverance is in there. Another part is safety. It is the power of God unto safety. All right? It is the power of God unto healing and soundness and preservation. Glory to God. The older you get, the more preservation you need, right? Some of you young folks, some of them looking at me like, what? What are you talking about? I found an interesting thing out this last couple weeks in Kenya. Our host said, He said, dear brother, he said, don't go to Uganda. I said, well, why not? He said, that chemical that causes people to go bald, he said, they're beheading people in Uganda to get that chemical out of their heads. I thought, well, dear God, I guess I'll stay out of Uganda. I need my head. If I don't have my head, it's, you know. But he said, it's a bad deal over there. I said, well, you're not going either, are you? He said, he's all bald. He's completely. I said, no, I can't go either anymore. But I said, well, if the Lord tells us to go, we'll go. Praise the Lord. But it's the power of God to be preserved. All right? Now, justification. He says this word salvation here means that God has done right by you. You've been justified. You've been declared right with God. Now, how do we receive that? By believing. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures as it relates to that then. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Now remember, this word means not only does it mean to be born again, it means so much more than that. So much more than that. The word sozo, which is the word for to be saved, it literally means to deliver, to protect, and it's translated to be made whole or to make whole. Do you remember, while you're looking for Acts 16, do you remember in Mark chapter 5, the story starting in verse 25 through 34 there, it talks about this woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, all right, suffered many things of many physicians, was nothing better but rather grew worse. The Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. The word that's used there for whole is this word sozo. I shall be saved, is what she really literally said. Then in verse 34, Jesus said, woman, he said, go, your faith has made you whole. Amen. Or saved. Now we know that power went out of him. I mean, you could say, well, what healed her? Well, it was the power, but Jesus said, yeah, the power's there. But it was your faith that activated that power. See, salvation is here available for everybody. Healing is available for everybody. Deliverance available for everybody. But it takes faith to activate it and to get it into our own life. I wish we could just rub it on people's heads. I wish you could just, you know, hit them with your Bible and they get it. But that doesn't happen. I mean, Pastor Samantha tried to do that to me when I was a first year Rhema student. She was our student activities director at Rhema. And I remember going to a few events, you know. Were you in charge of that event where we had the singles mixer over in the skating rink? What was that dude's name that was in the Trumpets of Zion? What was his name? They came over there and sang. Talked about, he warned us all. He spoke. He said, now I'm going to warn y'all. He said, you're in here and some of you looked across the table or looked across the room and you've seen someone and you've got that feeling in the pit of your stomach. He said, wait till tomorrow. You might have ate a bad biscuit. Ken, what's his name? Ken? I remember. It was hilarious, though. All right. Let her and I just reminisce a little bit, okay? Okay. All right, Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas here, remember, sang praises at midnight. And, of course, the jailer came in and found them. God had delivered them. And Notice what in verse 30 it says, then he escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30, Acts 16:30. And then you know what Paul told him, believe. Believe, and you will be saved. What must I do to be saved? Well, again, that word saved. So let's ask, if you were to ask me, what must I do to be healed? I'm going to tell you the same thing. Believe in the Lord. Believe. Only believe. Okay? You don't have to work it up. Now, belief, sometimes we get the idea that belief is, man, we're going to, okay. Oh, I got to believe. Oh. How many of you, if I described you, if I said, you're a believer, you'd say, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm a believer. Believing comes natural to the believer. It's not hard work, what we're talking about here. Romans chapter 10, let's look over here. Now, we know faith has to be released. One of the primary ways faith is released is by speaking what we believe. Now, just because you say something doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think we misheard Brother Hagin in teaching on that. Some people got the idea that, you know, my brother-in-law was telling, he graduated from Raymond in 1982, and he was telling my son and his son and a couple of the Raymond, he was on our trip, he was telling them about this guy that he sat behind in Brother Hagin's class. And this guy sat on the edge of his seat, you know, and Brother Hagin, you know, if you ever saw Brother Hagin minister, one of his favorite things to do was come out here to the edge of the platform and stick his toes over the edge and then sit there and twiddle his thumbs at you, you know. Well, in class one day, he said, now you all see, because he saw people looking at him. He said, now you're all looking at me like this. I'm all right. I do this all the time. He said, now don't you try it. You might fall and break your neck. And he's just joking, right? Well, this guy was mortified. Brother Hagin made a bad confession. He said, this kid sat in the seat. When he said that, he just slid back in his seat and said, I can't believe he made a bad confession. Well, just because you say so, if you don't believe it in your heart, it's not going to come to pass, folks. All right? And he was just joking. Some folks so stiff, we need to get the rod out of our backs a little bit and have a little fun every once in a while, all right? Now here in Romans chapter 10, we'll just move right on from that. Just forget, all right, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be, what's it say? Saved. Everybody say saved. Say healed. Say delivered. Say preserved. Say kept safe. Now what do you do? You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And what do you have to believe? That he's alive, that God raised him from the dead. Notice that. He says, with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. If you believe, he said, you shall be sozoed, if you will. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved, set free. Hallelujah. In every area of life, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Now look at verse 13. For everyone, is there anybody in here who does not qualify as an everyone? No, you're an everyone. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, delivered, set free. See, that name has been given to us. Glory to God. Amen? But notice it's a matter of believing. Go to Acts chapter 4. You remember when the lame man at the temple there in Acts 3 was healed? Peter and John were going up the temple at the hour of prayer, and that the man was late. He was there, and he was asking for a gift from them. And Peter, because Peter hadn't been fishing for a long time, and Jesus went, and they had all gathered their stuff together to take care of one another. Peter looks at him and says, look, silver and gold, I don't have any money. But such as I have, he wasn't walking around without anything. He had the name of Jesus. And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Well, the man went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple, didn't he? Now later on, they're brought before this council, you know. And they're mad because they've healed him. They want to know how you did this or what name did you do this in. And they told him it's the name of Jesus. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12. Acts chapter 4. Sorry about that. Verse 12. There is salvation in no one else than what? Jesus, glory to God. There is healing in no one else. There is deliverance in no one else. There is preservation in no one else. There's safety in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to people by which we must, everybody say must, be saved, healed, delivered, set free, glory to God, made right. My son, actually, I've stole this message from my son. He preached it in Kenya. I was listening to him. I thought, that's a good message. I'm going to preach. This is the first and only time I'll give him credit for this sermon. I rearranged scriptures on him. But he made a statement that I hadn't heard it said this way. And as he was preaching this, he made the statement that it doesn't just mean he, it means God has done you right. He's done right by you. Glory to God through Jesus. And not just you and I, everybody in the whole world. That salvation's available to whosoever believes. I love that. I call it the law. I call it the law of the whosoever. See, whosoever, you can't say, well, just this one. You cannot violate the law of the whosoever. Whosoever shall believe. John 3:16. Everybody know that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Well, thank God. I remember somebody sang a song, I'm a whosoever. That's a good thing to remember. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2 now. These are familiar verses for the most part. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. We're saved. We're healed. We're delivered. Let me go back to what Mr. Schofield said there. He said, deliverance, the idea salvation implies. In other words, it goes with it. You can't say salvation without meaning deliverance, safety, preservation, healing. I've been leaving this one out. Listen to this. And soundness. Soundness. Dear God, I don't have to lose my mind. I can be sound in my mind. Sound. Glory to God. Soundness. That's incredible. And he says it brings everything. You know, without salvation, it's interesting how Schofield said here that it's all the redemptive acts are in process of it. One of those being grace. We hear so much about grace today, but grace is just part of the plan of salvation. And so we read here in Ephesians chapter 2 then, verse 8, for by grace you are saved. For by grace you are healed. For by grace you have soundness. For by grace you have safety. You know, in this present day and age, you need safety, right? Supernatural safety. We ought to be claiming it. You know, a lot of times we go to the 91st Psalm, well, no evil shall befall. And that's great. But we've got, the New Testament's established on better promises. Amen. And the soundness and the safety that we have in Jesus is greater than what is offered in the 91st Psalm. It's a better covenant established on better promises. And the name of Jesus, I'm kept safe. Glory to God. Been made safe. I've been saved. Hallelujah. I have salvation. For by grace are you, let me say this. For by grace are you delivered through faith. Now see, faith and grace, someone called them the power twins. I like that. They work together here. Grace has provided. Faith reaches up and receives. The example that always works for me, and I may have given it here before, but it's like this. It's like an apple tree. Now, you know, God created everything and the fruit that's therein. And you may have planted an apple tree or planted a seed and nurtured it and helped it. But, you know, really, God caused it to grow. He caused that apple tree to be an apple tree. And when that apple's there and it's ripe, it's ready, you know, to be picked, it's there. It's been provided by God because it's God's original creation. But in order for you to reap the benefits and to enjoy the taste of that apple, you've got to reach up and take what's already been grown there for you, for it to be yours. Grace has provided healing. Grace has provided safety, deliverance, soundness. Grace has provided salvation, but we have to reach up by faith and take what's offered to us. Now, when I say take, it's not violently take from God. Now, the devil doesn't want you to get it, so you might have to elbow him, you know, a little bit as you go. And then if you're elbowing him, remind him, what are you doing up here? Get back under my feet, because the Bible talks about him being under our feet, right? But you know, because Jesus talked about the kingdom, the violent take it by force. Well, not from God. I'm not violently going to God. You know, I remember I was at a festival. In a town named Sandwich, Illinois. It was Jesus Midwest. And I was youth pastor, and we took a group up there. I drove the bus up there, and oh, that was a fiasco. Anyway, we stayed in this hotel in Joliet. Never should have stayed there anyway. But we stayed one night, and there was so much drugs and prostitution going on, I moved the whole group to another hotel. Yeah, it was bad. And but we went to this, and these guys did this skit. They were comedy, and they were kind of making fun of the, you know, the confession people and that kind of thing, where they were acting like they had, you know, they had God's word was a machine gun, and they were holding God hostage and saying, we've got you now. You've got to do what we say, because, you know, well, they were making fun of it. But, you know, in a sense, you know, we ought to just take that and say, okay, is there any truth in what they're saying? It's not that we're holding God hostage by his word. He's already promised it. Amen. The thing about it is, folks have not moved over to the idea that God freely wants you to have it. He will freely give us all things through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. All right. For by grace are you saved. Are you healed? All those things through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, in studying faith, I think one of the greatest statements that I've ever heard was made by Kenneth Hagin. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. All right. So we've read these things for by grace. Well, how do we know? I hear people say, well, how do I know it's God's will to heal me? And I've heard people try to, well, you just got to know. Well, but really, in this word saved, and if we can find a scripture that tells us that it's God's will that we be saved, then we know it's God's will for us to be healed, because it's the same word. It means that. It's God's word. It's God's will for us to be delivered. It's God's word, will for us to be kept sound. Glory to God. All these things. I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now remember, when I know the will of God, I can believe and I can operate in faith. And all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? Now this scripture just puts it right out there where it is. Amen? Now I might read this from different from the Holman. Let me pull this up real quick here, because I looked at that and really didn't like how that said that. Hang on a second. Thank God for some technology here. Amen. I used to carry notebook after notebook after notebook with me to go overseas. Now I can just take this. I got notes everywhere. All right. Speaking about God, talking about verse 3, this is good and it pleases God our Savior. That Holman says, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who does? God wants everyone. Well, if that word saved, and it's the same word, sozo, if it carries through, then God wants everyone to be healed. He wants everyone to be delivered. He wants everyone to be kept sound. He wants everyone to be safe. Well, why doesn't that happen for everybody? Remember, it's to those who believe. Act on it. Amen? Now, here's something I want. So it's evident then, it's God's will. It's God's will. And it belongs to you and I. It's his will. And if it's God's will, then it's mine. I'm his child. And really, he says everyone. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everybody that's ever breathed the breath on this earth, God wants them to be saved. Right? That's God's will. That's why Jesus came. Okay? This idea, I don't know where the idea of selecting, well, God selected this one but said no to that one. That's not Bible, folks. I'm sorry. I don't believe it was God's will to heal my Aunt Sophie. I'm sorry about Aunt Sophie, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to deny what God's word says right here. I don't know all the answers. I don't know. I've had loved ones that didn't get it either. And I prayed and I prayed. And I believed and I believed. And I don't know why. All right? Secret things belong to the Lord. I do know this. They were born again. And they could care less whether or not they got healed here right now. They're in heaven. Right? You understand that? I might miss them. But they're looking forward to seeing me there. But they're not missing me. They're not suffering at all. So I'm not going to feel sorry for them. Paul said, be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He said, it's far better to depart. Far better. Okay? But it's God's will. So when you read this now, I want you to understand. Now, notice here that he wants everyone to be saved. But notice, knowledge of the truth is very important then. And coming to that knowledge. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And you cannot act in faith beyond the knowledge that you have. So that's why spend time in God's word. That's why we kind of looked at this. We looked at it there. I didn't start with this because I wanted to start with some knowledge, some information about what it's about being saved and how it's healed and that type of thing. And then get us here to tell us, you can see very clearly that it's God's will we be saved. I'm thinking of another verse. Go to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I might look this up on here too. James chapter 5. Now, you know, why hasn't God promised that Jesus was going to come back again. Why hasn't he done that? Why hasn't he? Because he's waiting for something. He's waiting for his will to be done. Now, you know this. You know this as well as I do. And you know. You know people right now who have rejected God's will for their life. Yeah. It's his will that they be saved, and they've rejected. They don't believe it. They don't believe God. Okay? They're not saved, even though it's offered to them. It's offered to them. That's our job. I got to thinking, why? And from the word, you know, you kind of have these questions, and really it's the Holy Spirit leading you to find answers so you know. Why are we still here? After you get born again, you're a citizen of heaven. And Paul said, now we are ambassadors here on the earth. You know what an ambassador does? He represents a government in another land. It's not his home. He's there on assignment. And we are ambassadors for Christ here. We're here on assignment. What does that mean? We're only here because other people need to hear. Now, not every one of us are preachers, but we're all ministers of reconciliation. Right. Not everyone's going to stand behind the pulpit. Not everybody's going to go on a mission trip, but every person can be a part of it. You can pray, you can give, or you can go. But there's ways to be a part of everything that's going on. You understand? But that's why we're still here. I like to say it this way. If you're born again, you're my brother or sister in Christ. If you're not, you're why I'm still here. Yeah. Right? There's only two groups of people on the earth, those that are saved and those who haven't and those who aren't. All right? So my job that God's calling on my life has been primarily to train up men and women to take the message of the gospel around the world. That's been my primary function. And then I've also done that myself. But my primary function is to train others so that they could go do that. Years ago, God, as I was, I've been going to Kenya now for over 21 years now, and in praying about it, God said, look, I want you to teach Kenyans to reach Kenyans, and by reaching Kenyans, reach the world. Give them a worldview. And so teaching them, training a group of people. And this time, Amanda was able, she had not been able to go because our children, she stayed home with their kids. She got to go, and she got to meet some of these people that I've known all these years. And see them now, they're adults, they've got families, and they're bishops, they're ministers, they're pastors, they're doing things. And seeing, they're not who they were when I met them 21 years ago. One of the bishops over there, Bishop Joseph Aloach, was a street kid in the city of Kisumu. I mean, he was sniffing glue, living, and he had a father, but his father couldn't take care. So he's out living on the streets. And my friend who I work with over there, he took him in. I don't know why he took him. He said, just let the Lord to take him in as a 15-year-old kid. I met him when he was 17 in 1996. 17-year-old kid. Took him in. And Oh, actually, 1999 is when I met him. He was 17 years old at that time. Now he's a bishop, got wife and got kids and doing a great work, a great, great service for God. Amen. But all of us are part of that. Now here in James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. That's all. Let's be patient. Consistent. Patience doesn't mean I'm just putting up with it till it's over. Patience means I'm consistent regardless of the circumstances. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. Now I say that word long for a reason. Long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Now why hasn't God come back? Because it's his will that people be saved. Now, I don't know when the last one's going to be. I don't know. I don't know that. All I know is, with every breath I have, that's my job. It's to preach this gospel, to love people the way God loves them, and to preach the gospel to them so that they can be saved. It's his will. And to come into the what? The knowledge of the truth. So what's the knowledge of the truth tonight? That you are sozoed. You are saved, delivered, set free. You are kept sound and safe. You're preserved. You are healed. So I don't feel healed. Start. Remember, believe it in your heart. Because why? The Bible says it. You know, when you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, you didn't feel like he was the Lord of your life. But you believe God raised him from the dead. And if God raised him from the dead, he's my Lord. He conquered death. Then that's the Lord I want. Right? I'll never forget, and I'll end with this. Several years ago, we're in Africa, and I don't know. It's one. Sometimes you know when the Spirit of God, you're being led by the Spirit of God, you say and do things that you wouldn't normally do. And I said something, and it was like standing beside myself, listening to myself say it. Because when I said it, I thought, who said that? And I said, you know, Jesus is alive. I'm sorry, folks, but Muhammad is dead. I didn't realize we were in a Muslim stronghold area of Kenya. I said, he can't save you. He can't do anything for you. In fact, he didn't die for you. Jesus died for you and rose again for you. Muhammad didn't. He's dead and gone. And he didn't die for you. He tells you, you have to die for him. What kind of God is that? What kind of Savior is that? He's not. And I'm standing thinking, who said that? What? And this guy came forward. This was in a church. I'd said it later on again in that same time. This guy came forward. He said, I'm a Muslim, or I was a Muslim. He said, I was walking by, ready, trying to catch a ride back to where I live in Kenya. And he said, I heard this music and I heard this preaching and I came in, and he said, all I can say is when I walked in here, I was in darkness, but now I'm in the light. He said, I see it's Jesus. He said, I want to go back and tell everybody in my village about this Jesus, because he is the light. Amen. Say it. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm safe. I'm preserved. I'm sound in Jesus' name. Father, we just give you honor and glory tonight. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and tonight might be your first night, or I don't want to assume anything with anybody. Maybe you want to, get things right with God or that. Pastor Greg over here is here tonight to pray with you concerning that. Love to do that. Amen. Our connection team, if you'll find our first-time guests and take them to get that special gift. If any of you first-time guests want to come and talk to Greg, you can do that too. They'll wait for you. All right. Otherwise, we clear? Otherwise, clear? Let's all stand up. Yeah, don't forget to sign Craig's birthday card. Amen. Before you leave tonight, walk up to somebody and tell you, did you know I'm sozoed? Then you can be dismissed. God bless you.